Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, partner in charge of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center and our work by visiting us at www.businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation this morning is with David Winnergren, Chief Information Officer of the U.S. Department of Navy. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Paul.
And joining us in our conversation is Tim Conway. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
Well, Dave, let's start by talking about the military. Could you tell us, what's the role of the Navy?
Department of the Navy is a large organization, and of course it includes both the United States Navy and the United States Marine Corps. And its mission is to project force and protect the sea lanes around the world, which makes it a very unique organization to work in. 800,000 people deployed in virtually every time zone, tens of thousands of them literally on mobile offices, right? Ships, deployed Marines, and to be able to be connected around the world in real time is one of the great challenges of that organization.
Now tell us about the activities and the programs of your office.
As the Chief Information Officer, I'm responsible for information management and information technology policies across the Navy and the Marine Corps. It's a fascinating opportunity because it's a very big organization. We have a information technology budget of over $6 billion a year, and as I mentioned, hundreds of thousands of people. And to try to bring those people together to work your way through the entire range of information technology work, networks, knowledge management, e-business, security, transformation is a wonderful opportunity.
What types of skills would your team have? You just described a whole range of functions, and I would have thought they would have all been computer science folks doing that sort of stuff.
Yeah, well, we certainly have some excellent computer scientists in the mix, but it is really a broad range of people because a CIO's responsibility spans the gamut from making sure that you're giving the right oversight to your systems, all of your systems, weapon systems, information systems, because, of course, they all have to work together, to the other end of the spectrum, caring about your workforce, making sure your workforce is trained and IT proficient. So we need people with lots of different skills in the IT business. And more we see folks with a strong bent towards business, towards management, towards understanding the missions of the department and how those missions could be improved. Business process reengineering is a very important element of the work that we do in the CIO organization. So we have a small cadre of folks that actually work in the headquarters organization. CIOs have to report to the secretary of the agency, or in our case, the Secretary of the Navy. And so we have a small team there, but then we draw upon the resources of technical experts from throughout the Navy and Marine Corps team. So there are, you know, literally hundreds of thousands of folks who are really adept at being network engineers and being software developers, and then all the other skill sets that you need to actually run a business as big as this.
When people ask about the budget for technology in the Navy, is there a way to describe it to give people a sense of the size of the spend?
Yeah, it's big, and the way that we track the budget, the way that OMB and Congress ask us to is kind of interesting because it covers a very broad range. And so the Department of the Navy's information technology budget is $6 billion with a B, and that's a lot of money. And while the biggest initiative that we have, single initiative, is our Navy Marine Corps intranet, which is over $1 billion a year, it also includes all of a lot of very significant national security systems, the E2C Hawkeye and other programs that are heavily IT-oriented that make up that bill. So it is not just $6 billion spent on back office functions. It's $6 billion spent on command and control systems and command support systems and all the things that go into running the business of the Navy.
Thanks, Dave. Can you tell us a little bit about your roles and responsibilities as Chief Information Officer for the Navy?
Sure. I work directly for the Secretary of the Navy, and my job is to provide advice and counsel on the mission of the department. I'm part of the leadership team for the Navy and the Marine Corps, with, of course, my responsibility to be making sure that we do our information systems, and our information management correctly. So I have a responsibility for policy development, for oversight, for ensuring that we have a trained workforce, ensuring that our systems are interoperable, that we have a robust enterprise architecture structure, that we're complying with the president's management agenda, working your way through that whole set of portfolio of IT initiatives that happen in the world today. We are big proponents of electronic business and the web and wireless technologies. And again, so it's about having a small team of change leaders that can work with all of the commands across the Navy and the Marine Corps to help them as they do their jobs. Because one of the things that we learned early on in this adventure as we were walking through the Y2K days is that IT's everywhere. And it's embedded in every plant floor, every weapon system, and almost nothing works by itself anymore. So it really is all about the different business lines of the Navy and the Marine Corps. And we kind of view our job as integrators. What we want to do is to help you understand that, you know, you can use technology as an enabling force, but in the end, it's your business process, your mission area. And so, you know, the E in e-business is just to get people excited about that there is a need to change away from paper processes to electronic processes, but the key part of that word is business. It's not about me doing your business for you. It's about me helping you to see a way to reinvent your business to take advantage of the digital age.
So it sounds like you've got pretty broad responsibilities on both the business side as well as on the technical side. Can you tell us a little bit about your previous career and kind of how that prepared you for your roles and responsibilities today as the CIO?
Sure. I've had a varied career, I guess you said. I've spent my entire government career with the Department of the Navy, right out of college into the Navy as a young management analyst and kind of worked my way up through the organization. I've had a lot of different kinds of jobs. I used to do outsourcing work, the A-76 program, private public sector competitions. I was involved in the base closure rounds of the 1990s. After the base closure rounds, I had the job of working in the installation management world and restructuring all of the shore establishment that didn't close. And then I came to the CIO world, and my first adventure was Y2K there. And so, you know, sometimes people say you must wander from one program of hate and discontent to another, but I'm a hopeless optimist. So, you know, I think that the thread there is complex organizational issues. And so I think both me and my predecessor, Dan Porter, the last CIO of the Department of the Navy, shared this resume of having worked complex issues and having to work issues that require integration and a good understanding of the mission of the organization. And so while, you know, I have had some technology-related responsibilities in my career, clearly my selection as CIO was driven by the idea of we need people that can lead change and integrate across complex organizations.
Now, based on that, I mean, how do you see that those experiences have really, you know, brought you today to the visionary role of CIO of the Navy?
The common thread, again, I think, is integration. The Navy Marine Corps team is very big and very decentralized. In fact, we have a culture of over 200 years of, you know, independent ships at sea and being the captain of the ship and the captain of your destiny. That presents tremendous opportunities for innovation. Having the wherewithal to manage your own resources and go make your own choices gives smart people great opportunities to think of new ideas, and our organization is just full of smart people. The challenge becomes in this world of being so connected is that pieces have to work together. And so the premise of send a ship out and, you know, it'll come back someday and you'll have trusted the captain to have done the right mission is a little different in a world where you're constantly in contact from sensors to shooters to logistics support and those sorts of things. And so now there's a great need to take this very decentralized organization and make sure that it's integrated. And integrated doesn't always necessarily mean centrally controlled or centralized, but that the pieces work together. One of my responsibilities is the Critical Infrastructure Assurance Officer, or the CIAO. I always get a kick out of that acronym. But the Critical Infrastructure Assurance Officer is responsible for critical infrastructure protection. So physical security, security of our key infrastructures. It's not a job that you would necessarily have associated with being a CIO, the information officer, but we're finding more and more organizations starting to give their CIO that responsibility because protecting all of your physical infrastructures has a lot to do with integrating the efforts of numerous organizations. In our case, organizations like our force protection people, our anti-terrorism people, our investigative service people, our computer forensics types, and those sorts of organizations. So bringing all these pieces together to actually work towards a common good is sort of the resounding theme that we see in CIO work.
Have you seen that the role of the CIO in Navy has kind of evolved then over the last 10 to 15 years from being much more technical focused to being much more organizationally focused and focused on taking the Navy to the 21st century?
Yeah, I would have said it just slightly different because CIOs are kind of a new concept for us. You know, the Clarence-Cohen Act passing in the 90s, the first Department of the Navy CIO only arrived on the scene in the, you know, late 90s, 96, 97 timeframe. If we look at the last 10 or 15 years, I think your point is right on. While they weren't called CIOs, the CIO predecessor organizations were clearly focused on technical and acquisition related issues. And as we stood up a CIO organization through the, you know, Clarence-Cohen Act and a lot of the other pieces of legislation, the E-Gov Act, Federal Information Security Management Act, Paperwork Reduction Act, and the list goes on and on, there's a recurring theme in both the intent of Congress and the intent of the administrations that CIOs are there because information, knowledge. The intellectual capital of the organization has to be managed effectively so that it's available. You know, as the most classic case, a statistic from Gartner, I believe, about, you know, how over 70% of an organization's information lives on a C drive. And, you know, in a world where you're imagining people thousands of miles away from each other trying to get work done together, that just doesn't cut it. You know, the intellectual capital, the wonderful knowledge and learning that we each have and can bring to the table has to be available for people to share.
That's a good point, especially about the C drive. What's in MCI and what lessons have been learned? We'll ask David Wintergreen of the Navy to tell us about this when the Business of Government Hour returns.